Welcome back. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you've been listening to Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Warrior Resilience Conference, don't fret. Going to take you back there in about a half hour from now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The federal workforce seems to be under challenges, shall we say, from a lot of different quarters. There's a story posted now at federalnewsradio.com about the latest effort in Congress to really dramatically reshape the amount of money and resources and people that agencies have, and there are a number of members of Congress who have talked about even eliminating entire agencies. And at a time when the president's already talked about freezing pay, it can be maybe a little bit tough for your workforce to remain engaged and motivated, and for you to keep morale high among your teams. Somebody with some expertise in that area is John Salamone. He's managing consultant at Federal Management Partners and also a CHC Sage with the Partnership for Public Service, formerly with the CHCO Council. And John is my guest for this part of the program. Great to talk to you again, John.
Francis, it's great to talk to you again as well. Thank you very much for having me on the show this afternoon.
Happy to do it. As some of these things are coming around, and you read these stories on our website and other sources about what's happening to the workforce, what's your number one concern? What's bugging you about what you're seeing?
Well, I think that the number one concern really is just the implication for the workforce. And, you know, if your stories are, you know, now breaking about furloughs and pay freezes, what impact does that really have, and what impact do those stories really have on the morale of an agency? And I think, you know, there are really, that's the number one thing that would concern me, and that is keeping us focused on these types of issues.
Is there as much white noise around these kinds of things on the inside as it seems to people like me who are observing it from the outside? Or is it maybe a bigger deal to folks like us than folks who are on the insides of these agencies and who have been dealing with these kinds of issues, maybe not at this volume level, but have been dealing with this kind of thing for a long time?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I think the dynamic that really plays into that is, you know, what's going on in some of the field agencies? What are the rumors that are being spread, you know, out in Spokane, Washington, or, you know, Rochester, New York, or, you know, some of the maybe the smaller communities where there aren't as many federal employees? You know, obviously in the Beltway, you know, we live and breathe this every single day, but I think there's only about 15% of the federal workforce is in the Washington, D.C. area. So what's being transmitted and what's being communicated and what's being heard by federal employees who are really close to the ground. So that's the dynamic, I think, that is fascinating here.
That's a really interesting observation, because I'm just as guilty as my other colleagues in the media, not just here, at being maybe too Washington-centric when it comes to talking about what's going on at the agencies. We act like if it doesn't happen in one of the buildings that's 20 miles or less from where I'm sitting right now, it doesn't really count, and that's not really true, is it?
No, it isn't. And where the rubber hits the road and where the programs get implemented, I mean, it really is in the field. And think about, you know, the Social Security claims representatives that are working in the field and thinking about, gosh, are we really going to be furloughed, or are we going to have a pay freeze? You know, what impact is that going to have on the service delivery of these agencies out in the field?
Mm-hmm. As I'm in leadership, for example, I am sitting here in Washington, but I'm thinking about those folks all over the place. What's issue one as far as me being able to communicate with them and keep them informed from the perspective of not propaganda, not rah-rah, we're great, but this is what's really going on. This is what these various things that you're hearing about really mean to you.
Yeah, and I think at this point, there's a lot of speculation, and I think the best thing to do is to get out ahead of that speculation and deal with the facts. And the facts are that, you know, federal employees are going to be asked to tighten their belts, but that the mission of the agencies is the first and foremost, and that it really is a true honor to serve in government and to serve the public, and that as federal employees, we may be asked to make some sacrifices, and even if you can't define what those sacrifices are at this point, I think it's good to get out ahead of that and communicate that message to the employees of an agency. And that, you know, working very closely with the unions in the agencies to craft those messages, because if you look at employee, you know, organizations and representatives like AFGE and NTEU, they're very interested and focused on getting the mission accomplished. Their members are very focused on getting the mission accomplished. And as long as there is as close coordination as you possibly can have between management and between the unions, you know, you may be able to get out ahead of some of these rumors that are floating around there.
Do you think we would be surprised, the management level people or observers like me would be surprised at the volume and content of some of the rumors that fly around from time to time?
I think we would be surprised, and sometimes, you know, anecdotally, you could just, you know, when you are, you know, walking around an agency and you hear something, and you know if you're in the middle of a discussion, but you hear somebody that may be, you know, secondary or at a tertiary level, you know, three or four levels removed from a decision that's being made, and you hear rumors, you're like, wow, where did that come from? But then if you trace it back, it's, you just never know how information is going to be communicated and spread through the agency. So again, I think it's getting a tight, crafted message and making sure that management has a message that, you know, is being communicated and accepted and driven with the unions as well.
I guess I have this
unified approach.
Yeah, I guess I just have this image in my head of the telephone game that from elementary school, where I whisper something in your ear and you whisper it to the next person, and by the time it comes around to the front, it's completely, completely different.
Yeah, and I think that is just human nature, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, unfortunately. So, you know, you have to be very, very careful. And when we're talking about, you know, furloughs, and we're talking about combining agencies or closing down agencies, those issues have an impact on morale, and it makes people nervous.
It understandably makes people nervous. I guess one thing to consider, and that doesn't seem to be factored into any of these conversations that I hear, is something like that can't happen overnight. So these are all really, really complicated organizations that perform really necessary functions for the people that they perform them for. And so they're not something that somebody can just decide, well, in 2 weeks we're not going to do this anymore.
No, and let's be honest. I mean, if we're talking about even consolidating functions, okay, of an agency from, and moving, you know, maybe functions from the Commerce Department over to the Department of Agriculture because they have similar sort of roles and responsibilities, those are very difficult to pull off in and of itself. But if you're talking about closing down entire agencies, that is even it's a much more difficult proposition. And, you know, politics plays into this just as much as anything else, because I think conceptually we can all agree that, you know, we need to streamline government. But then when we start getting down to brass tacks and talking about specific programs, well, those programs mean something to a member of Congress because it might be something that they've championed, or they may have jobs in their community that are responsible for implementing the program. So it's kind of the not in my backyard syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it very difficult. But I think what the president's talking about in terms of, you know, consolidating programs is a really good first step, because that's what we're talking about there is, you know, strategic workforce planning at the largest level. And if there's a program in one agency that's mission critical and a very similar program in another agency, but it's not mission critical, well, why is that program being performed in an agency where it's not mission critical? Let's shift the responsibilities to another agency, move some of the employees over to that other agency, and then redeploy employees in the agency where it isn't mission critical to mission critical jobs within that agency.
I agree with you precisely about what you said about Congress. I remember the first time that the first, I remember when BRAC was originally set up. Every member of Congress said, this is great. It's, this group will objectively look at what we really need, what we don't need, and we'll get an idea of how we can reconfigure our base system, and it will be done fairly, and the politics will be taken out of it. And everybody was on board with that until the first round of closures came out. And then you had, you were right back to the proprietary parochial interests again. John Salamone's my guest. He's managing consultant at Federal Management Partners and also CHCO Sage with the Partnership for Public Service. A lot of conversation, John, about pay and the pay freeze in particular. And let's talk about some tricks of the trade for managers, how you can maybe get around that, not to try to sneak your people raises, but ways you can help keep people engaged and keep people feeling valuable. We'll have that conversation when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Want to keep the workers you value the most? A new report warns federal managers that pay freezes and potential furloughs could have top talent fleeing the federal workforce. The study by the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen Hamilton says agencies need to ramp up recruitment and retention efforts. It says key employees are always at an attrition risk, and the best and brightest can vote with their feet. With hiring and pay freezes, every vacancy could be a problem. I'm Amy Morris.
During the recent health open season, federal employees reviewed and selected the health plan best for their family's needs. However, when did you last review your life insurance coverage? Are you getting the best value? At WAEPA.org, you can review life plans that serve as a superior alternative or supplement to FEGLI. WAEPA gives its policyholders more coverage, more benefits, and greater flexibility, yet costs much less. Again, to learn about all your options, visit WAEPA.org. Become an extraordinary leader through the Key Executive Leadership Masters of Public Administration program at American University. Taught by faculty at the top-ranked School of Public Affairs, the Key MPA program is designed for working professionals and offers weekend classes to fit your schedule. Learn more at an information session on March 1st. To RSVP, visit spa.american.edu/key.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider with Chris Dorabeck.
OPM Director John Barry.
If there's been a misunderstanding, is I think people think we put everybody out at 3 o'clock, and that was not the case. I made the announcement at 11 o'clock in the morning, and if you were telework eligible, you could have left at 11. And I got a lot of thank you letters last week from people who did just that and said they watched the snowstorm out their window and enjoyed a glass of wine.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, talking to John Salamone of Federal Management Partners. And my conversation with John will be posted, if you missed part of it, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. John, the probably number one concern on people's minds is the pay freeze. The president suggested a pay freeze for federal employees for the next 2 years, and we'll find out next week when the budget comes out, but his budget proposal, how much teeth is behind that. But if you have a bunch of people at your agency that are really doing a good job and you want to try to figure out a way to keep them engaged and keep them from, quite frankly, being distracted by opportunities that are available in the private sector or at other agencies, are there some tricks of the trade that you can use that maybe managers don't take advantage of as often as they could?
Yeah, very good question, and I think probably central to keeping employees engaged in a tight budget environment is the number one priority that agencies should be working toward. And I would say that it can't be managers alone. And I would really suggest that that agencies need to make sure that agency leadership needs to make sure that they are building collaborative partnerships between HR and the managers. This is an instance where, you know, HR could lend a lot of advice to the hiring managers or to just managers in general on what strategies and tactics they can use to help retain talent. And just give a couple of examples. You know, there are a number of high impact, you know, human resource flexibilities that are available for consideration. And one is, if you're looking to bring in a new employee from maybe the private sector, agencies can use superior qualifications and special needs pay authority to set salaries for someone who is, you know, maybe has a superior set of qualifications. So instead of, you know, having to bring someone in at, you know, the very rigid, it's a GS 9 step 1, you know, position, as long as that, you know, person has superior qualifications, you could build a business case that, well, let's bring this individual in at a GS 9 step 10. And so that is a value add there, where the HR offices could be helping with the hiring managers and bringing employees in. But so that's kind of a recruiting piece of the puzzle in terms of bringing individuals in. But in terms of tricks of the trade for current employees, I mean, always looking at telework, employee recognition programs, you know, flexible work schedules, promoting benefits, things like, you know, flexible spending accounts, the child care and elder care benefits, TSP matching, tuition reimbursement. I know there's a cost with that, but the federal government has wonderful benefits. And I can tell you, from being on the inside of the government and on the outside of the government, there are positives and negatives to both benefits packages that I have now as a private sector employee, but I had wonderful benefits that had tremendous advantages when I was a federal employee as well. You know, one example I'd like to share actually is one of our clients, what they use to promote workplace flexibility, and it's actually the Center for Veterinary Medicine, and they've established a program that they call Any 80, and basically, the program allows maximum flexibility for most of their employees to choose any 80 hours during a 2-week pay period to perform their work. So they don't have to be at work at, you know, between 9 and 5. It's if they want to work at night, they have the flexibility to get their work done as long as they're putting their 80 hours of work in. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is a really innovative approach for the federal government to take. And I think that, you know, I commend the CVM for taking those steps, because it really, it's proactive. Their employees love it. And it gives them maximum flexibility to allow their employees to have, you know, kind of that good work-life balance.
Do you think we're going to see a lot more emphasis on retention and maybe trying some creative things like what you're talking about there? There's been a tremendous amount of discussion about hiring reform and so on over the last couple of years. Director Barry mentions it probably in every conversation that he has, even when he goes out to dinner with people or whatever, because he seems to be so passionate about it. But retention seems to get lost in the shuffle sometimes. Do you think we'll hear more about that?
Well, I think I'd like to do is tie both of those together. And really, I think in a tight budget environment, you know, we're looking at the 80-day hiring model, and I think it's wonderful to, you know, push agencies to meet that 80-day deadline. The problem becomes if you look at statistics from a recent Partnership for Public Service report that came out in November. Well, we've got, you know, 22% of employees who resigned from the federal government in fiscal year 2009 had less than 1 year of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 69% of employees who resigned from the federal government in fiscal year 2009 had less than 5 years of experience. So we're looking at people leaving the federal government, you know, with 5 years of experience or less. So retention ties in with hiring. And my point is that we've got an 80-day hiring model. But where do you really draw the line? And I think we need to push for, you know, more streamlined and quicker hiring. But in a tight budget environment, hiring costs money. And what we really need to be focusing on is the quality of hires that we're making. You know, are we bringing in the right people? Because if it takes us 100 days to hire the right person, is that better than 80 days and making a bad hiring decision?
Mm-hmm. It's the old quality versus quantity conversation, just molded a different way, it seems.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I commend Director Barry, I commend OPM, and I commend the Chico Council for continuing to push the charge. And I think, you know, the next logical thing that they need to be looking at is, are we getting the right people in the door quickly enough?
John Salamone's managing consultant at Federal Management Partners, and also a sage for the Partnership for Public Service. And my guest on the program today. John, when we come back, I want to see if there are any things that are any issues that are maybe bubbling under that are getting swamped by some of these real huge topics when it comes to HR. My conversation with John Salamone continues in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
Here's Rear Admiral David Glenn, CIO of U.S. Cyber Command, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by CA Technologies.
And what I call hunting on our networks for adversaries. That moves the defense from a more static capability right. to a more dynamic one in which we're actually looking for penetrations, getting inside that cyber chain of attack. For example, if you know you own a house and install an alarm system, that would be a static defense.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How do you keep your infrastructure safe without limiting your people and productivity? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems. Can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you enforce defense in detail, not just defense in depth? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems? With CA Technologies, you can. To learn how, visit ca.com/gov/value.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell. Listen to Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on WFED, where we host special topics and special guests. This week, our special guest is Mahmoud Ahmed, CEO of Dysys, an IT consulting firm serving Fortune 1000 companies all across the world. The show is sponsored by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-practice law firm located in Fairfax. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is John Salamone of Federal Management Partners. A lot of experience in the federal workforce, human capital realm. And, John, I wonder if there are issues that are getting crowded out when it comes to HR, things that are on HR managers' minds or maybe should be in the federal government, but they're getting blocked out by all of this, the things we've been talking about, pay freeze and the furlough specter and dealing with rumors and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, one issue that I like to talk about, and I know Catherine Medina, my successor on the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, will be happy that I'm going to bring this up. I wouldn't say it's necessarily being crowded out, but if you look at a study that was conducted by the Partnership for Public Service last year on closing the gap, seven obstacles to a first-class public workforce, 46% of the chief human capital officers felt that their HR professionals could serve as trusted advisors. So I think, you know, it's kind of that, how do we develop and continue to improve the HR workforce within the federal government? And I think that that's one of the issues as we move forward, talking about the issues that we discussed earlier in the earlier segments about, you know, making sure that managers and HR are talking to one another and that HR can advise managers on policies and procedures that they can help with, you know, some of the tricks of the trade. Really, that is an issue, I think, that is the next important issue for the federal government to address from an HR standpoint. It's paying attention to that workforce and nurturing that workforce and, you know, making sure that we can balance operational aspects of HR and ways that drives, you know, good customer service, but then at the same time learning to have conversations that sets the strategic direction for HR across across agencies. And a couple things I wanted to mention, because I don't think it's necessarily gets to the point of that they're bubbling under the surface because there's activities going on. I think that these issues have always been there. I think we're at a crest right now where things are starting to break and things are starting to happen. And two things I'd like to mention in particular. One thing is, I know you have posted on your website the information about the Chico Council and OPM working on the HR University, and that website was just released yesterday and gives good information for HR professionals to go to where they can learn about competencies and learn about career maps and career opportunities in the HR profession. But another thing that we are working on here at FMP and actually partnering with the Society for Human Resource Management is developing a series of courses for human resource professionals. And we have developed about 6 classes that are going to be ready to be rolled out later this year and that SHRM is going to be able to offer to the federal community. So I think we're finally starting to get some momentum and some rallying around this particular issue. And I think, you know, when we look at these issues and if, you know, you want to think about what's bubbling under. Well, you know, we need to identify the trends and what we mean to be a strategic advisor and how we can develop our HR employees to, you know, speak the language of their customers and learn how to build business cases for hiring decisions and human capital planning and those types of activities and just really developing effective HR measures and metrics. And I think that those are the types of activities that are going to help make human resources at a government-wide and agency-specific level be more strategic, be more helpful, and be viewed upon as a value-added, you know, component within the government.
John, it's been too long since I've had you on the show, and I promise not to make it so long next time. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for being on with me.
Thank you so much, Francis. Have a great day.
Thank you. Same to you. John Salamone, Managing Consultant at Federal Management Partners, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Hour number 2 of In Depth continues. Admiral Mike Mullen up next.